Kia ora and welcome to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and a very warm welcome to my guest today, who is Jeremy Corraween. Morning, Jeremy. How are you?
Morena. Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's great. That's really nice of you to come on the show. So, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you're doing in Palmerston North at the moment.
Okay. So I'm Jeremy. I originally come from France. So I came to New Zealand about 10 years ago now, you know. When you invited me to the show, I wanted to have a look. I can't remember the year exactly, but it must have been, around 2012.
Okay.
To take up a job in Auckland at the Alliance Française.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you first came to Auckland?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it's been five and a half years in Palmy.
Okay. So tell us about the move from France to New Zealand then, because that's quite, you know, that's a big move, you know, to the other side of the world. How did that come about?
Yeah, the motivation. It was a common decision with my wife when we wanted to have a family, to provide a multicultural, you know, environment and multilingual environment for children.
Okay.
Yeah. We came to New Zealand for some sort of a gap year,
right.
A long time ago, and we just loved the place. Even though we had a couple of countries in mind when, you know, we decided to make the move out of France, which were Canada, where I had some experience, you know, some work experience.
Yeah. And also has a French-speaking part.
Certainly. Exactly, in Quebec, yeah.
Yeah.
And Australia and New Zealand. So I applied to a couple of jobs within the Alliance Française network. And I actually got three offers, and one was in Auckland. The other one was in Calgary. And the last one in Australia, in Brisbane, I think.
Okay, so we were lucky then. We might have lost you to Canada or Australia.
Yeah, but we always wanted to come back eventually to New Zealand.
Yeah.
You know, we just loved the people, the country, and it was just perfect.
So it was a deliberate choice then to come here?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And the move had to happen like in 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh,
like
my
when
goodness.
I got the job offer, they were like, no, we need you, you know, as soon as possible. And basically in a month, we had to pack up and rearrange our life and I had to be there. And I remember it was quite rocky, the start. I did everything I could to came to New Zealand as soon as possible and to at least have 1 or 2 weeks, you know, of to settle and find a place.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly, I arrived on Saturday first. The trip took like 20 more hours than expected. Like the plane got diverted in Australia. It seems we flew around Australia 2 or 3 times before landing.
No.
You know, I was supposed to land at 1 p.m. and we landed, you know, like at 4 a.m. the other morning. And so that was on a Sunday. And I was supposed to start, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks after that. And I just, on the Monday, I said, I'm just going to pop in, you know, at the Alliance Française, say hi.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, welcome, Jeremy. So you're ready to start tomorrow? I'm like, sorry,
you
said 2 weeks ago, in 2 weeks time. And I said, yes,
I'm here.
So that
was it, you were started. You started there and then, did you?
Yeah, so the next day, pretty much, you know, like, yeah. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about the area of France that you're from, because, you know, France, I know, is very much regionalized and there's lots of different, you know, regions have different ways of doing things, saying things, eating, drinking and so on. There's quite a sort of regional culture, a bit like there is in the UK. So what's your region? What region are you from? And tell us a bit about that, because people probably don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. You're right. You know, like there's strong culture, you know, associated to particular region.
Mm.
So I was born in the north of France in a city called Lille, which is all the way up north near Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
But then I moved when I was younger, like a teenager, to first Lyon, which is a bigger city more in the south, and then to a city called Annecy in the Alps, so near the Swiss and Italian border.
Right.
So near the Mont Blanc.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, or Chamonix, people usually know.
Yeah,
those
most people know those places. Yeah. So a very beautiful area of France, actually.
It is. Yeah. Mm. So lots of ski fields and lakes and mountains. And No, it's beautiful.
So you probably feel at home in New Zealand in the South Island more than Palmerston North, where we don't have too many mountains.
Too many mountains. Yeah. Even though. To me, it was more the connecting with the sea, you know, which is an element, you know, like I wasn't really accustomed to. So, one of the first things I did when I arrived, it was pick up surfing, you know.
Okay.
So up in Auckland, you could find me, you know, every weekend in Piha or Murray, you know, and that was something I always wanted to do, you know. So
that was a new opportunity you could pick up when you came to Auckland.
And experience something new.
So tell us then, how did you migrate down from Auckland to Palmy with no surf beach on your doorstep?
half an hour, it's not too bad, but it's not the same conditions at the West Coast.
Yeah.
But then baby was on the way.
Right.
Yeah. So we always wanted to, especially, you know, in Auckland, you know, like... it could be. We are quite privileged, you know, because we used to live in Grey Lynn, West Lynn area. We both work, you know, walking distance.
Yeah.
We didn't have to commute, but we would have needed a bigger space. And we didn't come to New Zealand as well to commute, you know, like in traffic an hour every morning, and you know, like.
So having made a lifestyle decision to come to New Zealand, then that was also a factor in where you were going to live in New Zealand after.
Exactly. Yeah, we came for the lifestyle, mostly for the lifestyle opportunity for the kids, you know, but for us as well. And we always wanted to live in a smaller community.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started to look for, jobs elsewhere. And I saw a job opportunity to work... for the Palmerston North City Council, that fit, you know, my professional background.
Okay, well, that's great.
So it was 5 years ago.
It feels like you've been here for a lot longer. I don't know why. Okay. I thought you'd been with us a lot longer. So tell us a little bit about your role at the City Council, because it does tie in a little way to your migrant experience yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah. So my position, it used to be multicultural liaison officer, and it's now intercultural liaison officer, which at first, was a bit mysterious, you know, when I saw the job title advertised, you know, and especially in a city like Palmerston North, I did not know much.
Because you didn't know if we were multicultural at all, I suppose.
No. I think I just the first time we came to New Zealand, we just drove past, to be honest, coming back, you know, from Wellington. And in my mind, it was like this rural town, you know, like... And in terms of demographic, I didn't picture it needing, you know, like a multicultural liaison officer.
Yes, always underestimated.
Exactly, exactly. So that was my mistake. And so then I was amazed, by just the diversity of it, you know, especially when you compare to a similar sized city, you know, in France, like we don't have that much diversity.
Okay.
So, and so basically my role is to facilitate connection with the ethnic community.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the term ethnic because that's the thing. People never understand me when I say my job title, Lana. Multicultural liaison officer, people, between my accent and the term itself, people always go, what? So I tend to explain rather
though,
than provide my job title. I tend to explain straight away what my job is about. Which is, facilitating, you know, like project and being a support person for the ethnic community and the organization engaging with the ethnic community as well and connecting with council services. And
well, I'm sure lots of people who are listening will have seen you at events in particular with particular communities, you know, being that support person. And maybe they recognize your face, but they don't really... you know you personally. So I know that you're doing a lot of work, but it's often behind the scenes. You're not necessarily the front person, are you? You're the glue, I suppose, that keeps people together and helps get the project off the ground often.
Yeah, and that's what I like to do as well, you know, like being behind the scene. And
So I should say that Jeremy was a wee bit reluctant to come on the program, but I encouraged him and said it would be important to have him on. So you are in a unique position, really, in having a good insight into lots of different ethnic, let's say, communities in Palmerston North. So how do you think things have changed, maybe, let's just say, in the time that you've been here in the last 5 years? Have you noticed any changes or anything that's, that you can sort of put your finger on that might be a bit different, or things that have improved or got worse? I don't know.
That's a big question. So many things happen, you know, like in those 5 years, some positive ones and some tragic ones we know. So when I try to compare, you know, with the rest, if we just, you know, at the scale of New Zealand, overall, I think we're Palmerston North as a whole, you know, the community and the city council and the organization and the community sector is doing a pretty good job, you know. That's the feedback I got, you know, from other councils, some central government agencies, people usually pay close attention to what we're doing. And in a lot of area, we're quite at the forefront. But there's still a long way to go sometimes when you see, you know, like things happening or community groups coming together because they face, you know, discrimination or big challenges that still need to be addressed.
Yeah, that's right. So we're not just going to sugarcoat it. There are still some difficulties out there for people. And I think some groups more than others, I guess, are the target of unfair behaviour sometimes.
Yes.
So how have you found settling in New Zealand as a European person who, I presume, English is not your first language, no. So how has that been for you? You know, any challenges you faced? How have you overcome any difficulties that you've come across personally? Or the family? I mean, maybe, because sometimes the person who initiates the migration, I say this as a spouse of someone who migrated here, sometimes the person who initiates the migration, they're very motivated and happy to be in a new place, but the rest of the family has got more adjusting to do. I don't know, but. You know, tell us your experience.
Yeah, even though for me it was a small family, with my wife back then, we are both motivated to come to New Zealand, you know? So, and my son was born in Auckland five and a half years ago as a Kiwi, you know, so that's his home.
Yeah. So he's bilingual, I presume, is he?
Even though now he speaks way more English, you know, than French.
Right.
He started that. We're lucky to have the Alliance Française also in Palmerston North, who runs, you know, like French classes for all little French speakers in the community.
That's good. He goes
there every week, and that's really useful. Yeah. So he can interact, you know, with other children in French and other people, because he tends to use only English now on a daily basis, you know.
English just seems to be very dominant, you know, when children are brought up in an English-speaking country. The English just seem to, and lots of people have come on the show have said the same thing.
Yeah.
You really have to work at keeping that first language going when people are brought up in an English environment.
Yeah, exactly. I have this conversation a lot, you know, with people I meet who have the same struggle of maintaining, you know, their first language with their children. So every day, you know, since a young age, they use English constantly, you know.
Yeah.
So when you compare, it's like 90% of their week, you know, it's a English speaking environment. They only speak shortly at home, you know, when they come back, you know, and
So you have to put, I suppose, extra effort and time into it to keep those first languages going, really.
So language, community language classes are very, very useful.
Yeah.
So they can interact with other speakers other than their parents.
Just mom and dad, yeah.
And sometimes they tend to push back as well, you know, in terms of their other cultures, other parents' culture, parents' language, you know. Like I start to hear that sometimes. I don't want to speak this language, dad, you know.
And I think, again, that's a very common experience that, you know, the generation brought up in New Zealand sometimes, they don't initially see the benefit of being brought up in two cultures like that or with two languages.
So it's important to have an opportunity for them to use their languages outside of home.
Yeah.
So with those classes I mentioned, or for example, with the summer reading program that the library is running, you know, every every year. Now there's an option to do it in multiple languages.
Yeah.
So the children can use their other language, you know, at the city library.
Yeah.
Other than English. And it shows them that it's okay.
There's
to
a world
do
out
so,
there,
you know,
where lots of other people are speaking this language. And how many languages are being run in that summer reading program now? I feel like it was maybe 12 or 14 or something.
14.
14,
the last one. Way more were offered, you know.
Yeah.
So it's up to the
people in the community to take it up.
Exactly, to take it up, you know. And then we've got amazing people, you know, are able to give their time, you know, to volunteer and to provide those book chats in multiple languages.
Yeah, which is amazing, really.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, look, we'll take a little musical break at this point, and then we'll come back and carry on in a few minutes. Counting all different ideas drifting away. So we're back on Making Pāmi Home and continuing my chat with Jeremy Corouin, who is from France initially. And just before the break, we were talking about the importance of maintaining language, especially for children born in New Zealand, but whose parents were born overseas. And you mentioned Alliance Française, but there's also the First Voice program, isn't there, that is run to try and promote children learning to write in their own language. Do you want to tell us a bit about that? Because I think you've been involved with that as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been involved with my work, you know,
yeah.
And supporting this amazing initiative, you know, which was started by Barbara Drake, who's an SL teacher at Palmerston North Intermediate Normal School.
Yeah.
Who started this this project more than 20 years ago now.
Wow.
Because we had the 20 years anniversary 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to encourage children who are studying at Palmerston North Intermediate to speak another language, to write in their language.
Yeah.
And then, so they work with adult mentor, help them with their writing mm-hmm. at a workshop. And then the City Library publishes the work. Yeah. And they also do a multicultural celebration at the school, and they invite the whole school to showcase their culture. And yeah.
That's really cool. I do remember when I first came to Palmerston North, which was just about 20 years ago this month, actually. I remember seeing those essays, as I kind of thought they were, up in the library near the children's area and being quite impressed, mm-hmm. you know. So that's a good way for children to feel more confident in their first language as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, you know, because... sometimes I don't realize that it's an amazing skill set for them to have.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Not only the language aspect, but just this multicultural mindset. Because sometimes you see children, you know, being brought up, you know, in three, sometimes four different cultures,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
between their parents yeah. or extended family. I think at the last workshop, yeah, we had this kid who was speaking Portuguese and I think Urdu, English, and another language as
oh
well.
Oh, my goodness, you know,
and,
wow.
Yeah, it's yeah. just amazing. But sometimes they don't really value it, you know, and they
yep.
tend to, especially as they grow and develop as a teenager, they tend to hide it, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Like the other cultures.
But it's something to be proud of, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we want to celebrate.
Yeah. No, that's a yeah. cool program. So tell us a little bit about your settling in process into New Zealand or into Palmerston North. How did that go for you? Did you feel at home straight away? Did it take time?
In Palmerston North, I got a good welcome because I had another colleague at council who was also French.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. and straight away, you know, they opened their arms and they helped me resettle here, you know,
yeah.
like linking me with a local community. And I was also staying at their place for a while because I was commuting Palmy, Auckland for like 2 months at the
right.
start,
yeah.
driving
yeah.
back and forth every week.
Because
my wife back then was 7 or 8 months pregnant, you know, so
right.
yeah. So it was helpful, you
yeah.
know, in terms of having somebody from your
yeah.
community, you know, like who understand also the struggle that it
yeah.
is, you know, to, yeah. just arrive in a completely new environment just by yourself, you know,
yes.
with zero connection and
yeah.
having to start it all over again, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I totally identify, Jeremy.
yeah.
Yeah.
But then I also found a very welcoming, you know, community as a whole, firstly through work, you know, like the welcome I got at council, you know, was great, you know, in terms of the care
yeah.
of the people within council.
Well,
I have to say, within the colleague and within the organization as well,
mm-hmm.
That was really helpful.
Mm.
And also, I was lucky because, you know, it's through my work, as you know, the purpose of my work is to make connections.
Yeah.
So it helped, you know, like...
yeah, so that in itself helped you because you were out there making connections for other
exactly.
people.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it might not be representative, you know, for...
Yes, yeah, and I mean, I don't think... I think in doing these interviews, we're not trying to say that anyone's person's experience is what other people experience, but it's just interesting to hear how different people have found arriving. And certainly a common theme is if there are other people from your home country who you can connect with early on, that makes the whole thing a whole bit easier.
Yes,
yeah.
But after the challenge, it's to go past that.
yes.
And
yes.
actually, last night, yeah, I had a conversation with another migrant
mm-hmm.
who was telling me that she actually was staying away from her own community.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she would like to...
Yeah. She wanted to branch out more.
Exactly. And she came to New Zealand for that as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, she experienced people who wants to stay only in a community.
Yeah.
And which is a strength and it's important.
Yeah.
But the challenge is to go past that and make those other connections.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
So for me, what helped, I can talk a bit about that, was, of course, work, you know, through work. Like I made a lot of connections through that. And then hobbies, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and especially music. Right. Like all through my life, you know, playing music was a fantastic opportunity for me to meet new people.
Okay, what kind of music are you into?
Rock and roll.
Really? That's great. So do you play an instrument or do you sing or both?
Yeah, so I do play the guitar plus some other. I also play some other instruments like the tabla, which is an Indian percussion, but I still need to get them sent back from France. But my main instrument is electric guitar.
Oh,
guitar.
Okay. Yeah. So are you in a band?
Yeah, so I restarted I put that on pause, you know, for a while.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, life.
Yeah,
kids,
work, and, small children.
But it's been, 2 and a half years, I, you know, like, undust the guitar, get my equipment sent back from France. And, it helped also, you know, to have a passion outside of work to make this connection.
Yes.
And so I play in the band,
Oh, great.
So we're going to play at the Alliance Française Fête de la Musique.
Okay, what's the name of this band, Jeremy?
We don't have a name yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been 2 years of practice, actually. So it's about time now that we get out there.
When's the Alliance Française Fête de la Musique?
So it will be on a Saturday, 19th of June, at Palmerston North City Library.
Okay.
And it's going from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Wow.
They've got a main act coming from Wellington in the evening and mostly local bands throughout the day from 2 to late.
Oh, well, that's a must do then for the calendar.
Yeah, and it's free, so everyone's welcome to come.
That's brilliant. We're very well served, actually, in this community for lots of free events. And so that's awesome. Well, look, time is running out, I'm afraid. So it's gone very fast. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. It's been great. And everyone, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and you can catch the show on the podcast at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.